Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
I am waking up to find myself in the same position as millions of you.
I left my husband and son in the hotel room, and I drove back home to look at the pipes and make sure they're not frozen, which they're not so far. Yay!
It's been out for about 15 plus hours here. Oh, that was terrifying. It just flickered.
I'm Amy Gentry. We live in Austin, Texas.
It is warmer in Moscow than it is right now in Dallas.
We lost power around, I think, midnight or a little bit after on Sunday night. And yeah, so yesterday we woke up to a very cold house. We were prepared for short rolling blackouts. You know, the city had said 10 to 45 minutes, I think. But clearly it became clear that that was not going to be the case. We managed to get at a hotel that's unfortunately a little bit further away than we would have wanted. I was scared to drive. It's just a whiteout out there. It looks, the roads are white. I lived in Chicago for 6 years, and I was on a highway once between Chicago and Gary, Indiana, when there was a blizzard, and that was the scariest driving I've ever done. And I swear, this is at least as bad. I mean, it's maybe worse. It's also really concerning. We've been very careful about COVID transmission, and it's very scary to be in a hotel. And we also know that people are having to go to other people's homes to stay warm. Even if they've been careful about COVID, there's just no way to avoid it.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. Today, Eric Wolf on what caused the power to go out in Texas in the middle of a winter storm. It's Wednesday, February 17th.
Millions of people still are without power. The demand on the system, the amount of power required, is above the extreme weather scenario the grid operator, called ERCOT in Texas, forecast at before the winter started. And the amount of generation that has fallen off the grid unexpectedly is far higher than they forecasted, even in an extreme situation. And so they just have nowhere near enough electricity or energy to supply and keep people warm. And so they've had to turn to these rolling blackouts, because there is a situation that's worse, and that is an uncontrolled blackout. And that is where equipment gets damaged and it becomes much harder to bring everything back online.
What is the generation mix of what's been taken off the system? Right now I'm seeing reports of frozen wind turbines, but it's definitely not just renewables, right?
Oh, it really isn't. And in fact, right now renewables are overperforming what was expected of them. The winter forecast does expect some wind generation, but the big problem seems to be in what they call the thermal generation, which is coal, natural gas, and nuclear. But a lot of the Texas system is supplied by natural gas, and there seems to be somewhere around 26 gigawatts of thermal power offline, which, in fact, that number was as high as 30 at various points this weekend. 30 gigawatts fell off the system. It's just a vast number.
You know, we're piling on all the layers. We're doing what we can to stay warm, but yeah, we're just really not equipped for this kind of cold. No one is.
People love to throw around the word unprecedented, but is this scenario unprecedented? Because something like this ever envisioned for the grid?
I don't know about envisioned as a word I would choose, but it's happened before. In 2011, 50 generators fell offline, and that was before the big wind build-out. They had a deep freeze. They had coal piles freeze. They had problems with the gas generation that they had at the time, which was not nearly as expansive as it is now. And you know, it's just really tough to run a system that has to be able to cope with 100 degree heat for weeks at a time in July and August and September, but also occasionally deal with 5 degrees, which is what they're seeing now in some parts of Texas. And it's just really hard to build for both of those extremes.
Obviously, we heard Texas Republicans in particular kind of mocking California and blaming renewables for the rolling blackouts that hit that state last summer. What are you going to be looking for in terms of the political fallout of this? And what does this experience do for the Republican argument about, you know, renewables being the cause of rolling blackouts?
I mean, I think, again, you have to look to what Abbott is saying. I mean, governors, you know, always have to deal with actually keeping the lights on, but they have to recognize that this is a multi-fuel problem. They will likely try to seize on this as a chance to beat up renewables. Texas is not California. If they're beating up Texas, they're beating up their colleagues in the party. They're saying, you, my fellow Republicans, failed us. I mean, Rick Perry signed, as governor, signed legislation that built out an enormous transmission network entirely designed to facilitate the construction of wind. This is a red state problem, and so it's going to be much more challenging for Republicans to hammer renewables, both for actual factual reasons and for because they would then have to be by proxy attacking their colleagues, you know, the future Republican Party in the legislature, the existing Republican Party in the governor's mansion, and so on.
What other factors do you think contributed to these ongoing rolling blackouts? I know it's a complicated series of things, but what other factors would you highlight?
I think it's worth at least thinking about Texas's unusual power market. Texas is not regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They have very carefully kept themselves as sort of a virtual island. They have a few connections that they can make to the rest of the grid to import power, but mostly they are self-sufficient so that they are not FERC regulated, no interstate commerce. And most experts agree that a bigger grid is a more resilient grid. So you can imagine that if Texas was connected, had some good, strong ties to New Mexico, then New Mexico could then import power from California. And you could just sort of roll the power westward from other power stations, and that would make the whole system more resilient. Then the other thing is that they don't have what's called a capacity market, which basically pays power plants to stick around to be available in emergencies. And capacity markets are controversial. Environmentalists say that they're basically a way to subsidize fossil fuel energy. But what I have to point out about these two things I've said is that they're also mooted a little bit by the fact that the entire Midwest is having rolling blackouts. They are all having these same problems. This weather is really bad, and it's really hard on everything. It's really hard on all types of generation.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find our show. And for your daily fix on the Biden administration, Congress, and power in 2021, subscribe to Politico Playbook, the unofficial guide to official Washington, at politico.com/playbook. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.